The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
1280 The Patriot is WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul. FM 107.5 K298CO Minneapolis. Intelligent radio.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Former President Trump telling the Salem Radio Network Sebastian Gorka that his recent warning of a, quote, bloodbath was a reference to the demise of the U.S. auto industry if Joe Biden gets back into the White House.
Because we're getting ripped off with Biden's really dumb auto policy. I tell you what, if any auto worker, United Auto Worker or other, if any auto worker voted against Trump, they are not the smartest people.
The former president blasting electric cars, too, saying they're too expensive and they're being propped up by China. Today is Palm Sunday. Christians in this country and all around the world celebrating the commemoration of Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem. It's also the kickoff of Holy Week, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and a week from today, Easter Sunday. This is SRN News.
Bad decisions limit future options. Make enough bad decisions and you destroy your life. Listen to The Flatline with your host Rick Hughes every Sunday morning at 7:30 here on AM 1280 The Patriot. The Flatline describes a main line of resistance in your soul, built on God's Word. Join us every Sunday for 30 minutes of inspiration, motivation, education, all without manipulation.
The Flatline with Rick Hughes, every Sunday morning at 7:30 here on AM 1280 The Patriot.
Urgent Camp Lejeune settlement message. The government will soon begin providing fast, guaranteed settlements to Camp Lejeune Marines, families, and civilians. Awards will range between $100,000 and $550,000 with an option for higher amounts. If you or a loved one spent time at Camp Lejeune and suffered cancers of the bladder, liver or kidneys, leukemia, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Parkinson's, or kidney issues, you may be entitled to a significant financial reward for your Camp Lejeune claim and could be paid within 60 days after accepting your settlement with your VA benefits fully protected. But the deadline for filing is fast approaching, so you need to act now. Call the James Harris Law Camp Lejeune helpline now to get the compensation you deserve. We're already fighting for thousands harmed by the water at Camp Lejeune, and with the deadline coming, you need to call now or you may forever lose your right to a settlement between $100,000 and $550,000. For your free evaluation, call 800-774-9900. 800-774-9900. 800-774-9900.
This is Dennis Prager. Now you can listen to my show when it's convenient for you and without censorship from big tech. Become a member of the ultimate online community for all things Prager. It's Pragertopia Unlimited. Listen to the show on demand when it's easiest for you. This includes every radio show, every segment, and every guest over the last 10 years, and it's commercial free. You can even share your favorite segments with your friends. Plus, you'll get the same email from Alan Estrin that I receive every night about the most important issues to read about. Pragertopia Unlimited members can also listen to every program, lecture, and course that is in the Prager store. Thousands of hours. You can even listen to all my Torah teachings for free. Share my passion for free speech. Join today and save 25% off the first year and get a free Pragertopia coffee mug. It's all things Prager, Pragertopia Unlimited. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
Retirement doesn't have to be complicated. Are you sick of all the fancy charts and investment mumbo-jumbo thrown at you to justify the Wall Street fees you're being charged? It's not the size of your nest egg that matters, but rather the income it can produce. Hi, I'm Mitch Lyons, best-selling author and star in a brand-new Hollywood documentary called The Retirement Deception. In this film, we traveled over 20,000 miles interviewing real Americans who have retired successfully with a great lifestyle and peace of mind. They share their stories on how they get more retirement income with the same dollar saved, and the money is never at risk if the market crashes. That's right. If the market crashes 30%, you lose nothing. Even the super wealthy are shifting money into this new strategy because it increases their retirement income or can allow them to stop working years sooner. So if you are over 50 and want a bigger, better, stress-free retirement, call today to speak to a specialist and get a free copy of this brand new movie, The Retirement Deception. Call 888-365-1409. This is a $30 value, but when you call today, you get it completely free. So don't delay. Call right now, 888-365-1409. That's 888-365-1409.
Did you hear Michelle Tafoya interview Al Michaels? What about Bob Costas? Hear her fascinating take on those two and more on the Salem Podcast Network. Hear intelligent radio through your smart speaker. Just say, play the Patriot, Minneapolis.
You listen every day.
I never miss it.
So now it's time for you to join the conversation.
Who, me?
Like AM 1280 The Patriot on Facebook and share your thoughts with like-minded conservatives. You can also enter to win prizes, learn about upcoming events, and more.
World of Aviation is paid for by Thunderbird Aviation.
Portions of the following program may have been pre-recorded.
It's time for the World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation in Bloomington and by Thunderbird Aviation, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. Here now is your host, Al Malmberg.
Thanks, Doc. This morning, we're going to meet this year's recipients of the Sherm Bowen Scholarships to Academy College of Aviation, Caitlin Conover and Micah Larson. Joining us first is Caitlin. And Caitlin, good morning and welcome to the World of Aviation.
Thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Congratulations on being one of the recipients to the Sherm Bowen Scholarship. That's a big deal. And it's difficult to achieve that scholarship. The competition was great, and every year it just gets more and more competitive. And congratulations to you. When did you first get interested in flying?
I got first interested in flying when I was probably a flight attendant at SkyWest originally. I was a regional flight attendant. And part of a flight attendant's job is they get to go up into the flight deck when pilots have to use the bathroom. And it slowly became my favorite part of the flight when I get to step up there, and I got to know more and more pilots and just hear more about their stories and just had a growing curiosity about getting on the other side. And yeah, that kind of is what got me into it. So
did you ever discuss that with any of the pilots that you got to know?
Absolutely. I would use all the van rides to ask them about their experiences and every time I went up there. And so it was actually a really valuable experience. And it was also cool because as they got to know my growing interest, and after I started flight training, I stayed as a flight attendant for about 5 months. And so when I'd get to go up into the flight deck of actually Alaska Airlines at the time, so 737, they would show me the HUD and show me all the information. They'd have me interpret the METARs for them. And it was just a really cool opportunity to kind of get that crossover time of when they knew I was interested and when I had the opportunity to kind of see the other side of it. So it was really special. I really am thankful for the time I had.
What a great learning experience to be able to touch base with these guys on the flight deck. And to learn from them. Did any of these guys ever become mentors?
A lot of the people I worked with at Alaska were really valuable in like sharing with me their flight experience and everything. But it was kind of like my core friends who are now captains at SkyWest that I really got to know. One of which, her name's Claire. She's definitely been a mentor for me since the beginning. She was one of my captains, one of my early trips at SkyWest, and was endlessly encouraging from my first flight I took and just in my interest and everything. And another one I met was an Alaska female captain named Allie Eckert, and she was just incredibly encouraging and helped me get started. And she used to be a flight attendant herself, so she just made it seem very possible and just really was just so positive about it. So I think those two women are really the two mentors that I kind of took away from my experience.
Is it common or not for flight attendants to get the itch to learn how to fly and become pilots, whether it be private or commercial?
I have a couple friends who I worked with who were interested, some of which were kind of taking initial steps and just kind of figuring out financing. And I think some of which are just like not really sure. I often heard from flight attendants, they're like, well, I like this job, but I don't know if I could sit down for it the whole time, and kind of just things like that. And I don't think it is necessarily for everyone. And I think being a flight attendant by itself is such a great job, but I definitely heard a lot of people's interest. And especially what I think is kind of cool is one of the voices that was really profound for me is there was this flight attendant named Jean Sullivan, who had been flight attendant for, I think, about 12 years at SkyWest. And she was just incredible. She was this old Scottish woman who grew up in a fishing village. And she looked at me when I was just like kind of just beginning to think about it. And she's like, I would do anything to go back and have been a pilot. And her voice kind of just kind of kept resounding with me, even as I moved on to Alaska, just like thinking about like when I would be Jean's agent of hers, like I would just like love to honor her and just like become a pilot and do what she wished she could have done. So it was kind of like those voices, honestly. There definitely is an interest, but it was really cool to be able to speak with people who have kind of really pursued it also. I have one of my good friends who I used to live at my crash pad with in San Francisco, who works for United. She's also kind of beginning her flight training journey. So it's been really cool to talk with her on the phone and kind of just like share our experiences and our stories. And so it's really cool how there's both interest in people who are not going to pursue it and interest from people who are both in the starting phases and who are interested and who are beginning to be interested. So there definitely is some crossover there of people who love aviation like I did, but are curious about the other side of the experience, especially coming from that position of a flight attendant. You already know what the lifestyle looks like, and you know a bunch of the smaller intricacies and how you know a lot about crew resource management, CRM, and about kind of what it means to be a crew. So I think it's a really valuable experience to go into, and they know a lot more about it than probably a lot of people entering the field. So,
sure. Did you when you decided that you were going to do this, you're going to jump off the dock, so to speak, into the water, take a discovery flight, or how did you?
Yes, it's actually interesting. During my first portion of the flight, so I worked for SkyWest for 9 months. About 8 months into that, I went and did a discovery flight. My initial discovery flight, I actually hated. Like, I went up and I felt so overwhelmed, and I just was like, I could never do this. So I kind of just continued. I applied for a different company to be a flight attendant. I was like, okay, at least I'll go for a bigger airline. I'll really see this experience and see if I feel more committed to it. And the curiosity just never died down. And I was like, what if that was just a bad discovery flight? Like, what if I just didn't have a good experience? So it took me about 11 months after that to go back and do another. And for that portion of time, I actually like committed to myself. I'm like, I'm going to fly for multiple days in a row and then make a decision. So I communicated with the flight school and I was like, I want to fly. I'm going to take 2 weeks off and I'll fly as much as possible. And then I'm going to make a decision. But it was after the first flight. I was like, absolutely. So it's actually funny. My first discovery flight, I felt not at all like it was possible. And then it just took kind of coming back around to it. And I think just working with an instructor who works a lot better for me. So
what happened on that first discovery flight? I'm curious.
Yeah. So I went up and it was interesting. I think the person doing it might have not really been used to maybe working with really new students, because they had a lot of emphasis on like me working with the rudders. And to me, I didn't even know what a rudder was connected to. I didn't know it about a vertical stabilizer. Like, I didn't know how the plane really worked. And I think often on discovery flights, they just kind of let you kind of just take controls, get used to doing some climbs, some turns. And for me, there's such a fixation on like leaning. She was like, they were just telling me all about like leaning the mixture and coordinating the turns. And it was very overstimulating. I was just like, wow, I just don't think I could understand this. So I think it was just a little bit too much of the intricacies of it that I wasn't really able to just look up and like enjoy the experience around me and kind of see the potential.
Interesting. And then the second time you went up 11 months later, tell us what the difference was that made that so much better.
I think that it was just the person I was flying with then was a pretty senior CFI. He had been doing it for about a year and just was very calm going into it and just had a really just, I don't know. I think he just explained things well. He let me take control, but in a way that I think he was down there like coordinating the turns with the rudders, but really just like let me see the exciting part of it and let me feel, I don't know, just like, and was very complimentary of like, wow, you have a really good sense of these particular things and you do a really good job doing it. It was just like very encouraging and not overwhelming. And he let me do like help with takeoff and do all these things right away that just really made me feel and kind of see the potential in it. And it was just a really positive experience. I remember going right back into my car right after and calling my best friend and being like, yes, like 100% I'm in. You know what I mean? Like I was so sold on it right away. So I think it just was a difference in who I was working with. And I think, and he became my full-time instructor all through private and instrument just because he was so valuable and so good at explaining things. So I really appreciated that.
That was my next question, if he became your instructor, and he obviously did. How far along are you at this point?
Yeah, I'm about 25 hours into my commercial certificate. So I probably will be wrapping up my commercial certificate sometime in the summer and moving into multi-engines probably in the fall and kind of just keeping on working through it as swiftly as I can while also just not trying to rush it because I know this is such a enjoyable experience you can really value. So,
So you've got your instrument rating at this point?
Yes, I do.
Well, okay, we're going to talk about that, Caitlin. We're going to take a break. Caitlin Conover is our guest. She is one of the two Schermbowen Scholarship recipients this year, and she and Micah Larson will be honored. They will be presented their scholarships at the Minnesota Aviation Hall of Fame banquet that's going to be held on April 20th at Mystic Lake Casino and Convention Center. You're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation, where I learned to fly, two locations in the metro, Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation. There is no time like the present to start your career in aviation. The aviation industry is hiring, and Academy College is here to help you turn your goals into reality. Earn a 2 or 4 year degree in business or aviation. Select a career-specific course that will enhance your knowledge. If you are an aviation enthusiast, you can enroll in the Commercial Pilot, Aviation Management, or the FAA-approved Dispatch course. What makes Academy College unique is they truly want to meet their students where they are. They understand that everyone's circumstances are different, and they want to support you and see you succeed. They can help you achieve this by allowing the flexibility to attend classes in person or virtually. With small class sizes, hands-on instruction, and a competitive atmosphere, it's another way of ensuring that when you graduate, you will be a true competitor. Live up to your potential. The sky's the limit with the support of Academy College. Next quarter begins April 8th. Don't delay. Email admissions at academycollege.edu.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1309. 800-430-1309. 800-430-1309. That's 800-430-1309.
A commercial airliner cannot take off without the signed release of the captain and a dispatcher. That is how crucial flight dispatchers are to the industry. Academy College in Bloomington offers a 6 or 10 week FAA-approved flight dispatcher course. This course is an intensive course that covers regulations, meteorology, aircraft systems, and performance, along with so much more. The FAA-approved dispatcher course is approved by airlines throughout the industry. Class sizes are limited to maintain a healthy instructor-to-student ratio. For those who qualify, this program is eligible for the application of VA benefits. Academy College is located in Bloomington at the crossroads of 35W and 494. For more information, visit Academy's website at academycollege.edu. That's academycollege.edu. Next quarter begins April 8th. You're listening to The World of Aviation. This morning we're speaking with the two recipients of the Sherm Bowen Scholarship to Academy College of Aviation. They will be given their scholarships at the Minnesota Aviation Hall of Fame Banquet on April 20th. And by the way, if you'd like to attend the banquet, it's so much fun. All you have to do is get on the Minnesota Aviation Hall of Fame website. You can just Google that, Minnesota Aviation Hall of Fame. It'll take you to the website. Caitlin, when we took a break, I asked if you'd gotten your instrument rating because you were into your commercial at this point. Most pilots would agree that when you're training, the most difficult at that point is the instrument rating. Did you breeze through it, or were there points that gave you a hard time?
Well, I had been both excited and nervous for it because I had heard from a couple of my friends at the airlines that it was their very favorite rating. So I was cautiously, I don't know, nervous about it, I guess. Actually found it to be a really fun rating because it was so, I guess, different from training before because it was very calculated in a sense. And there was ways to really, I don't know, like actually feel like the metrics of doing things with accuracy. And it really just kind of, with making the radio calls and being on with approach and all these different things, it just really kind of made it feel real and very alive. And you'd hear, you'd be on the same channels as big airliners. And it was just, it made it a very real experience. And I think I really enjoyed it, actually. I think it was I even enjoyed it more than my private pilot certificate. So,
yeah. It's really gratifying, isn't it?
It is. It's very cool. And once you can kind of get it down and be able to, I don't know, interpret and understand it, it's just really satisfying. You can just really feel how much you've like grown, which I think was really cool. So,
what was your first reaction when your instructor told you to remove the hood and there was the airport in front of you?
I honestly, that was one of the hardest parts of it. It's like you are all of a sudden blasted with a sight picture of the ground and have to quickly coordinate and figure out how you're coming in for a stabilized approach. So honestly, that was the most chaotic part of it for me. It was kind of recalibrating back into, okay, now let's make this a good landing. And so it's surprising though, especially with those ILS approaches that guide you down very close to the ground. It's all of a sudden you take it off and you have what feels like just a couple seconds before you land. It probably is more than that, but it comes up quick. So
it's about 4 seconds.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. So that remains a challenge.
So the commercial, tell us about the commercial license that you're working on right now. What all does that involve?
Yeah, so far, there's 3 stages of commercial in a 141 program. And the first stage of it is basically 10 hours of dual time. So that means time with an instructor and 40 hours solo cross country. So it's a lot of flying solo, a lot of flying at night. So I've been just kind of, my goal has been to fly anywhere between basically around 10 hours a week, but a little bit less just with the weather right now. But getting a couple night cross countries in, going to up to Duluth is honestly one of my favorites, going up to the Evo Sky Harbor at Duluth International up there, and just getting to come in over the water is just so cool. So, but then just a lot of little flights to, I don't know, like Wilmer and New Ulm and La Crosse and Madison. So kind of just around the area. But I've been really trying to grow in my night flying skills just because for me that felt very intimidating. So I'm like, I could either just fly the minimum night hours, I could really take this time to take what feels kind of scary and kind of make it more familiar. So I've been really trying to work on my night flying and being able to identify airports at night, which is a challenge. Once you find them and can get lined up correctly, it's good. So I'm trying to challenge myself with it and really get the most from this experience. So
isn't night flying fantastic though?
It's so pretty. It's like you look around you and it's like, it reminds me of what made me fall in love with like being up in the flight deck. It was like looking out the windows all around me and just seeing what looks like the inverse of like the night sky of stars, but just on the ground below you. It's incredible. So it's really special. So I think this will be a really great rating to work through.
Yeah, one of my first thoughts at night flying was how accurate the sectional charts are in the when you look down at a town or a city, how it's laid out on the sectional chart, and you see the lights of the town and how it matches the sectional charts.
Absolutely.
I was really impressed. Yeah. Yeah.
No, absolutely. So, you can tell how much thoughtfulness went into that.
Yeah. So what are your career goals once you get all the ratings that you're needing? What do you plan on doing with this?
Absolutely. I want to go back to the airlines. I love working at the airlines. I love the crews. I love working with passengers, and I'm excited to really go back and be eventually a captain who really just like cares and communicates well with the crew and is just really an advocate for what the flight attendants need and how to best work with them, and someone who really listens and cares, and someone who really comes out and makes announcements, like a really personable captain, is honestly my goal. And I'd love to be based here. I've grown up in Minnesota, so to me, it's really my goal is to be at an airline that has a base back in Minneapolis. So,
yeah. Now, you know, one of the people being inducted into the Aviation Hall of Fame on the 20th is Sherry Rolfing. And Sherry is the chairperson for the banquet, and she's a captain at Delta Airlines. And I hope you'll be able to introduce yourself to her, because she is just absolutely incredible.
Absolutely. That would be a great honor to meet her. So I'll definitely be finding out her story and how she got to be where she is. That's amazing.
Now, something I want to talk about, and you know, I thought about, well, do I want to ask you this or not? But I think it's important. There have been those guys that have poo-pooed the idea of you becoming a pilot. Was that a personal thing, or was it because you were a female? And you know, here we are in the 21st century, and I can't believe I'm even asking that question.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I think some of the feet. So I've been told, part of my interview for the process, and this is why you bring it up, is because I had mentioned that on multiple occasions I've been told by people that I could never be a pilot. And I think some of those were said out of a place and context that was intended by some metric in their mind to be complimentary, because it was initially followed by, but you're such a good flight attendant. Why would you even, you couldn't be a pilot. Like, you're such a good flight. Like, they meant it as almost, I feel like, a backhand compliment that they maybe didn't see the other side of. And others, I think, were just individuals from a different, I don't want to give the excuse of a different generation, because my, like, grandparent or my grandpas are like two of the most supportive people from aviation, so it has nothing to do with age. But I think just some people go under a different group of assumptions of who they think of when they think of who a pilot is and who a pilot should be. And I am a very sociable and artistic and bright female, and just not someone that they maybe would initially picture being the captain of a plane that they're on. So I think it's kind of just been overcoming that on a personal level, because I am a pretty strong personality, and I just don't think that that's always what people think of. But I think also it's just some people just kind of getting over their initial biases and their perceptions of who they feel safe flying with. But honestly, even some of the critique that I've heard and some of the doubt is from women. And I think, unfortunately, that's just something that's internalized by a lot of people in our society. So it's unfortunate, and I hope that I can be one of the many people who can just be a counter narrative to that, someone who can help expand the image of who people think of. And I hope that I can be a peaceful advocate, meaning someone who can work alongside people who might not be able to see my place there yet, and just help grow them in their encouragement while also just leading with kindness, because I think that speaks above anything. So,
Caitlin, I personally think that you'll be a great ambassador for flying and for aviation as a whole, and I'm going to make that a lead-in to you represented Thunderbird Aviation at Girls Aviation Day, and I've got a feeling you had a tremendous influence on a lot of young ladies that, you know, maybe never even thought about becoming a pilot, and they saw you and talked to you. Was that a lot of fun for you to meet with girls, thinking about it?
Yeah, I loved that day. I used to teach in the kindergarten classroom, and I love working with kids. Like, that's a huge passion of mine. So what was really cool is kind of being at that table. I think a lot of families just kind of came without really setting an expectation of what they're really doing there. And a couple kids were kind of unsure, but it was kind of cool when certain families would come up and I was kind of able to capture the attention of their younger ones and just kind of just like use my storytelling capabilities to explain to them why I am so excited to be a pilot. And I would tell them about the different things I get to see. And it was cool because one of the little kids, I was like, do you have any questions about it? And they're like, do you get to see any animals? And I was like, you know what? Like, last week I got a huge group of horses when I was taking off. It actually was super distracting because I was trying to climb, but I just wanted to look at horses. And my instructor was making fun of me because I was like, oh my God, horses. And he's like, fly the plane. So it's cool because, like, I get to kind of meet their questions with an equal enthusiasm, kind of knowing how to share stories and knowing how to build sight pictures and kind of bringing together and integrating these what felt like random career choices in my past, but kind of be able to bring them forward to kind of grow people's interest and love in aviation to people who might have not thought of it otherwise. So
fantastic. Caitlin, this half hour is flowing by very quickly, and I appreciate you coming on the show. And again, congratulations on being one of the recipients of the Schoenbohn Scholarship, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Aviation Hall of Fame on April 20th. And thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me today. I really look forward to it. So thank you so much,
Al. My pleasure. Thank you, Caitlin. We will take a break, and after the break, we will talk with Michael Larson, who is the second recipient of the Schoenbohn Scholarship, but he's not going to be a pilot. What? We'll find out momentarily. You're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation, where I learned to fly, two locations in the Twin Cities, Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie, and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation. Meet with aviation employers and build a strong network in the industry with interviews on site. The next career fair, held by Academy College, will be held on Thursday, April 25th from 5 to 7 at the Academy College Atrium. That's Thursday, April 25th from 5 till 7. Academy College is located in Bloomington at the crossroads of 35W and 494. Your career will take off with the support of Academy College. Mother's Day is May 12th. Celebrate your mom this year by getting her the experience of flight. Book a scenic flight for the two of you over the Twin Cities, seeing the places that have created wonderful memories for you both from above, all while creating new ones. She will appreciate spending time with you and reminiscing while capturing the picturesque scenes of the Twin Cities area. To book a scenic flight, visit ThunderbirdAviation.com. That's ThunderbirdAviation.com.
If you can snap your fingers, you can find this radio station. The next time you want to listen to us, your smartphone is now your smart radio. We're always on. It's as simple as this. Alexa, play The Patriot, Minneapolis. That's Play The Patriot, Minneapolis.
The greatest red carpet you'll ever walk is through your front door.
We're Dr. Josh and Christy Straub, marriage and leadership coaches and hosts of the Famous at Home podcast.
With a realistic, grace-filled look at the struggles families face today, we cover topics designed to help you become a rock star under your roof, set healthy rhythms between work and home, and build a rock-solid marriage.
To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search Famous at Home on your favorite podcast platform.
Join the Patriot Freedom Fan Club for prizes, contests, quizzes, and more. Plus, get exclusive access to pre-sale tickets to events. It's free to join. So visit am1280thepatriot.com today.
Meet with aviation employers and build a strong network in the industry with interviews on site. The next career fair, held by Academy College, will be held on Thursday, April 25th from 5 to 7 at the Academy College Atrium. That's Thursday, April 25th from 5 till 7. Academy College is located in Bloomington at the crossroads of 35W and 494. Your career will take off with the support of Academy College. Mother's Day is fast approaching, and what better way to celebrate mom by booking her a Discovery flight at Thunderbird Aviation, located at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie or the Crystal Airport. With this experience, she will take flight with a certified instructor, and she'll even fly the plane herself. As you have flown the nest or are planning to, why shouldn't she take flight herself? To book now, visit ThunderbirdAviation.com. That's ThunderbirdAviation.com. You're listening to the World of Aviation. Joining us now is our second recipient of the Sherm Bowen Scholarship to Academy College of Aviation, Micah Larson. And Micah, welcome to the World of Aviation.
Thank you, Al, for having me on. It's a great opportunity. Hi.
Now, you have taken, I want to emphasize, first of all, your goal in aviation, you want to become the CEO, the chief executive officer of Delta Airlines or some such airline of that nature. You want to go into the executive arena versus flying the commercial airlines yourself.
I do. And it's definitely been a, it's funny that the journey has not been a straight line. And, the commercial flying aspect of it, was intriguing at first and, had looked into it a little bit, but, it actually started junior year of high school. And I had received a brochure in the mail from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, with the campuses in Daytona Beach and Prescott, Arizona. And I had been flipping through that one day and saw the air traffic management major that they have. And that really piqued my interest. And so I was kind of looking around and really wanted to do that, but just wasn't finding a good program that was near, because Embry-Riddle's obviously all the way across the country from where I am. And so
yeah.
As I was poking around, I found Academy College, and so I spoke with admissions, and then I talked with AA, mm-hmm. and he was like, well, the closest thing we have is the dispatch program, and like, well, tell me a little bit more about that. And so we got into that, and eventually we got to the point where he's like, well, you have to be 21 to do this. I'm like, well, that's kind of a problem for me because I'm only 17 years old. And so that's kind of what led me here to the business side of things, business administration, aviation management, just because I think when people think aviation, it's all about the flying aspect of it. But really, there's a lot more that goes into it, because you can't get a plane in the sky until you figured everything out on the ground. So I think that getting to this point it's definitely been an interesting journey, but now that kind of set my sights, I'm working hard to achieve the goal.
Just out of curiosity, have you ever sat down and talked with, or even on the phone with any executives with any of the airlines to get their advice on the best way to go about this?
No, I haven't. I've talked with quite a few pilots, and obviously all the instructors at Academy are very insightful, are very helpful. But I think LinkedIn has been a big resource for me, being able to kind of build a professional network and kind of learn about the industry a little bit more from the outside, see how people sharing their knowledge, and that's how I've gotten most of my information, obviously, other than my coursework. But that's kind of where I've been sourcing my intelligence for now.
No, I understand you have taken some lessons in flying. How often have you done that, and when did you do that, and how many hours have you logged at this point?
Yeah, so I started that last summer, summer of 2023, in about mid-July. And it was an interesting configuration because I live in Ely, but we don't have any FBO or flight school up here at the Ely Airport, even though it's a great airport. So I was driving 4 hours to Maple Lake, just outside of the metro there, and I was taking lessons there. And I tried to get in about 5 lessons a week, so one every day. And then I did that for the majority of the summer, obviously weather permitting. But so far I have about just over 40 hours, I think. And I haven't been back at it since October, just because weather kind of hampered some things. And then my instructor at the time, he was off to Sky West. So I left high and dry without an instructor. But hopefully I can get back to that this summer and finish it up either here or elsewhere.
Are you being told that getting your license would be a good thing to help with your career goal to go into the executive side of aviation?
Yeah, it is interesting because as I've been looking around just preliminarily at some various positions and stuff, a lot of them ask for prior aviation experience, and they include pilot certificates in that. And that goes for basically any spot, whether that's even working for an airport and you're doing Part 139 standards, they want you to have somewhat of a good grasp on at least you know how an airport works and you can navigate it with a pilot's mind before you kind of apply the federal regulations to the more planning aspect of things. So, definitely both the instructors and then obviously the job descriptions kind of solidifying that. A pilot certificate definitely is an asset to have when applying for jobs, not necessarily directly flight related.
You know, I've got to tell you, I recall reading the letter of recommendation from, I believe it was your flight instructor in Maple Lake. And one of the things that he said is that, you know, you drove down from Ely and you were always on time. And I thought, wow, that's dedication to be driving that far. And when you said every day, 5 days a week, if the weather permitted, that's impressive. It truly is. So with your goal of getting into the executive side, where do you start? You know, when you get a job, with a lot of pilots, they start working on the ramp. To get some time built up with whoever they're flying with. Where do you start when you want to go on the executive side?
Yeah, that's a question I've been asking myself as well. kind of looking around at other people, just perusing what they've done, it seems like a lot of it starts with more of a usually an internship of some sort, whether you're going into the airlines or an airport, because obviously both airports and airlines are massive corporate organizations. And so I think it's kind of finding more of an entry-level position for airports. That's through the class that I just finished up, the quarter ends today, obviously, but my airport FBO operations class has kind of piqued my interest in the planning and that sort of thing on almost the engineering side of airports. But from that side, a lot of people start as an airport operations specialist or some sort of airfield technician that becomes familiar with the airport and inspections and all that sort of stuff, and you're working under somebody else, and then you progress farther and farther deeper into the organization, and whatever sector of the organization you choose to select, obviously there's kind of the ladder that you climb. So there's definitely not a wrong way to do it. There's multiple paths, but it's just finding the one that's most rewarding for me. So,
you know, as you were just talking, I was thinking of a guy that we had on the show a couple of months back. His name is Craig Anderson, K-R-E-G. And Craig runs an FBO up at Chandler Field in Alexandria, which is really a nice airport. And if I remember right, Craig is also the manager of the airport. And a guy like that, I think, would be, he'd have a ton of information that if you could sit down and talk with him. This is an interesting conversation because I've never thought about the executive side of aviation and how you go about it. You know, another great resource is Nancy Grazini Olson at Academy College. She runs a great operation at a Thunderbird Aviation at Crystal and Flying Cloud Airport. Have you ever sat Absolutely. Down and talked with her about your goals?
No, and she is one of the people that I really haven't had much exposure to. Obviously, she's the campus, the college president, but other than the scholarship interview the other day, I've actually never seen her before. So she'll definitely be somebody that will be on my list of people to reach out to and pick her brain a little bit.
You were involved with the, and I'm trying to find it here as I scramble through your paperwork, the resort area. I'm trying to remember what the organization was. You had many hours. It was the Veterans on the Lake Resort, if I remember right.
Yes, you're correct.
What? Tell us about that organization and what your involvement was.
Yeah, so... it's been a little bit of a journey with them. A lot of people in the Ely area aren't really aware of Veterans on the Lake Resort. And to be fair, it's a few miles out of Ely, and so not necessarily much publicity for them. And so we were looking for a venue for my graduation party, and we had looked at a few different spots, and they probably weren't going to work, mostly because they're outdoors and we didn't know what the weather was going to be. And we just happened to, can't remember if we were referred or if we just, it popped into our heads and they're like, oh, we should check out Beth on the Lake. And so we met with the general managers, and we decided it'd be a great venue because it would be big enough to hold people. And so ever since that point, we've had a great relationship with the general manager, and we've helped with a whole slew of various activities. Most recently, they did a fishing grant that was in cooperation with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And so we were out there a couple nights during those few weeks, helping with food and stuff like that. And then just from the back end side of things, my family and I have helped with some computer stuff and various website updates and stuff like that. So it's been a fun time with them, just getting to know the veterans that stay there, and just the staff are great, and it's a great place to relax and unwind.
Micah, how far out are you from getting, I know you're working on your BSBA, Business Administration and Aviation Management. How far out are you from graduation?
So it's kind of up to me because I can kind of set the pace. But right now, if I were to continue at the pace I've been going, I'll complete it in about 2.25 years. So I'll be done by next September, September of 2025.
Fantastic. Well, again, congratulations on receiving the Sherm Bowen Scholarship to Academy College, and looking forward to meeting you in person at the Minnesota Aviation Hall of Fame banquet, where you will be presented your scholarship. And again, thank you for coming on the show. Great to talk to you, Micah.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Al.
Take care. That is Micah Larson. And that was the two recipients we had. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and Spencer and I are going to talk about the finale of Masters of the Air, the Spielberg-Tom Hanks collaboration, the follow-up to Band of Brothers and the Pacific, and now Masters of the Air. You're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at the crossroads of 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation, two locations in Metro, Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie, and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation. There is no time like the present to start your career in aviation. The aviation industry is hiring, and Academy College is here to help you turn your goals into reality. Earn a 2 or 4 year degree in business or aviation. Select a career-specific course that will enhance your knowledge. If you are an aviation enthusiast, you can enroll in the Commercial Pilot, Aviation Management, or the FAA-approved Dispatch course. What makes Academy College unique is they truly want to meet their students where they are. They understand that everyone's circumstances are different, and they want to support you and see you succeed. They can help you achieve this by allowing the flexibility to attend classes in person or virtually. With small class sizes, hands-on instruction, and a competitive atmosphere, it's another way of ensuring that when you graduate, you will be a true competitor. Live up to your potential. The sky's the limit with the support of Academy College. Next quarter begins April 8th. Don't delay. Email admissions at academycollege.edu.
Are you over 30 and putting off life insurance? It's time to get a quick quote from Ethos. A better, easier way to get term life insurance. All online with no medical exam. Answer a few health questions and you could be approved for up to $2 million. Isn't it worth 10 minutes to help protect your family's financial security? Ethos. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com.
Seth Hullhaus brings hope and insight as he fights against socialism and communism on the Man in America podcast, now available on the Salem Podcast Network.
The role of the digital world in shaping our perception of the real world cannot be overlooked. It seems like all of these mechanisms are dividing us in endless ways.
Subscribe to Man in America today on Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Rumble, or at SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
A commercial airliner cannot take off without the signed release of the captain and a dispatcher. That is how crucial flight dispatchers are to the industry. Academy College in Bloomington offers a 6 or 10 week FAA-approved flight dispatcher course. This course is an intensive course that covers regulations, meteorology, aircraft systems, and performance, along with so much more. The FAA-approved dispatcher course is approved by airlines throughout the industry. Class sizes are limited to maintain a healthy instructor-to-student ratio. For those who qualify, this program is eligible for the application of VA benefits. Academy College is located in Bloomington at the crossroads of 35W and 494. For more information, visit Academy's website at academycollege.edu. That's academycollege.edu. Next quarter begins April 8th. You're listening to The World of Aviation. We're bringing in Spencer Jost because I wanted to talk about Masters of the Air, and both of us have seen all the episodes now. I'm going to go back to a friend of mine wrote on Facebook that he had watched the first two episodes and he was disappointed. And one of the things he had mentioned, after two episodes, I thought we'd get to know the characters. And I told him, hang in there.
Yep.
And I'll tell you... I don't want to give away any endings. I mean, we know that the Allies won World War II, so, you know.
Well, hold on. No spoilers.
But it was an incredible series. When you saw the finale, your thoughts on it, Spencer, with how this all came together at the end.
Oh, I had to text you right away.
Yeah, you did.
I just thought it was great as with the characters. I mean, you know that they're... I thought they were loosely based, but I didn't know they were off of real guys. I mean, and that's what I've... Yeah. And the great thing I would recommend is follow... Once you finish the series, follow with the documentary, The Bloody 100.
Oh.
Phenomenal. And it sees just, you know, the backstory, and it kind of tells what how the guys lived their lives right after the war. Yeah. And I just was so speechless. I mean, I was you can't give enough gratitude to the Greatest Generation, even after that. Phenomenal.
Yeah, and did you look back on when we interviewed Jim Rasmussen?
Oh yeah,
after his 100th birthday, you know, just amazing. Did you ever see Band of Brothers or the Pacific?
I did not. I see the Pacific floating around on my HBO Max, you know, as I'm looking for something to watch. So I see it there. I still have to watch the Memphis Belle first. That's the
You got to watch the Memphis Belle and then watch Band of Brothers. I'm anxious to talk with you about that. But, you know, the Memphis Belle, I thought what really was great about the Memphis Belle, because it really, I don't know if they intended this or not, or if it just happened, but it really showed how young the crews were.
I could see that in the trailer, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Astin plays a belly gunner, you know, climbing into that little ball.
Yeah.
And, boy, I'll tell you, there's one scene in there where, I mean, you literally are gripping your couch.
Well, can we go back to that, like, to see that in both Masters of the Air and Band of Brothers, that just with that gentleman looking down, you're, what, 20, 30,000 feet in the air looking
something
down?
Something like that,
And you're just in just an insulated little bubble, you know?
Yeah.
That scared me, and I'm, you know, that was CGI.
Just it's amazing. Now, something else I want to talk about, and we started to talk about when we were having a difficult time hooking up with Charlie Tillman about 3 weeks ago. Kathy and I had the pleasure of going out to San Diego. She had never been there, and it was my third trip to San Diego, and she absolutely fell in love with San Diego, by the way.
That's what I hear when people go. They fall in love with it.
It is such a beautiful city. But we were with some friends of ours, Pete Upsall and his wife Sandy, and Pete had retired from the Navy as a captain, had been a skipper on a couple of warships, an XO, and he had a great career in the Navy, and he's now a part-time instructor at the Maritime Institute in San Diego. And what I did not know until we got out there is that he and another retired Navy captain who was an instructor out there, they programmed something for me on their ship simulator.
Oh, no.
and they, what they programmed was for me to be steering the ship and going into San Diego Harbor.
Oof.
And it's not real wide.
How'd you do?
First of all, you got a real... Oh, it was fun. it's not very wide. They dredged the channel to be 40 feet deep. And I think the draft on the destroyer, I think, was 37 or 38 feet. And there's buoys that you have to stay in between. If you don't, you're going to ground the ship, which really, you know, it's embarrassing. And,
well,
and not a good thing for the ship. But they had programmed in, we're coming in, the maximum speed going into the channel is 10 knots.
Yeah.
So, you know, ships of that size don't stop on a dime.
No.
Right? And I've said this many times, when you're flying an airplane, you want to fly outside the plane. You
got to
stay way ahead of yourself. And a ship... You have to. That's magnified. I don't know how many fold. Because you got to start your turn long before you're going to make your turn. It's not like an airplane. You turn and there's instant reaction. But they had programmed so there was a large cargo ship coming out of the harbor that we passed, and then a Russian aircraft carrier.
Oh wow!
And it was so much fun. But when you're steering the ship, there's so many degrees to the left, so many degrees to the right, and you got to start. You know. I'm sure if you looked at the pattern, I was zigzagging all over the place. To me, I was going in a straight line because I'm spinning the wheel and that way and this way. But it was so much fun. You know, if you want information on the Maritime Institute, just go to their website, maritimeinstitute.com. And you can even see their ship simulator and how large the room is, and about the same size as the bridge of a ship.
Well, I saw,
but it was amazing.
I saw the movie Devotion. I kind of gave it some time about last week,
and
they have a scene where they have to, you know, land on the aircraft. So, kind of seeing that and steering something that magnitude is just intense.
Yeah. It's fun. Anyway, thanks for the update. And if you haven't seen the finale,
watch
it.
Watch it.
Yep. I'd like to thank our guests, Caitlin Conover and Micah Larson. It was fun talking with them. And again, they'll be at the Hall of Fame banquet on April 20th at Mystic Lake. You've been listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation, where I learned to fly, two locations in the metro, Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie, and at the Crystal Airport. You've been listening to The World of Aviation.
World of Aviation is paid for by Thunderbird Aviation.
Hear the top voices in conservative radio on your Amazon smart speaker.
Now streaming AM 1280 The Patriot. Intelligent radio.
Just ask Alexa to play The Patriot Minneapolis. That's Play The Patriot Minneapolis.
Spot on, nice fish.
Nice walleye. Look at that.
Beautiful.
Minnesota gold right there.
This is the first restaurant in the world that strictly is decolonized menu.
All right, let's try this too.
Oh man, that's good. So earthy and mushroomy.
Where's the seals?
It looks like the ocean.
It's not that cold.
It is that wet though.
What will your Minnesota travel story be? Discover what makes Minnesota the star of the North at exploreminnesota.com.
Sponsored by Explore Minnesota Tourism, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
She's smart, beautiful, and a former Fox Business Channel host. Now you can hear her take on the day's financial news on the Trish Regan Show on the Salem Podcast Network. Hear intelligent radio through your smart speaker.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.